right, so y'all be praying for John and Matthew. They are out on a retreat. It's in Vermont at the birthplace of Bill Wilson, the founder of AA. And I went on that trip several times with him. It's a great time of renewing, and Matthew's got to go. This is his second time to go on that, and it's a long trip, to be exact. It is long and tiresome, for sure, but you work all 12 steps in 3 days, and so it's a beating, and so, but they're going to come back. They'll have their bucket full filled, and they'll have some, probably some good tales to tell about the trip. Hey, y'all are on. Awesome. So, Teresa already announced it. The anniversary next week. Boy, that's... Yeah, is it going to be like this all night? I sure hope not. Golly. See, I do better when I get a little response. It's our anniversary next week. Yeah. Yeah, boy, y'all are going to get there. Teresa just said that we're supposed to bring finger foods, bring a little something. I do believe we're still going to have the meeting, though. Yeah. Yeah, I believe we're still going to have the meeting. So we'll have a little short time of maybe gathering stuff. I don't even know if we're going to put stuff in. Maybe we'll put it in here. I don't know. We need to talk. But
which one is it?
Huh? I believe it's 15, right?
Yeah.
15 freaking years. Yeah, I feel it. Y'all are tough to deal with, man. Especially that old man in that wheelchair back over there. All right, so listen, if y'all haven't invited someone to bring next week, do that. Do that. Invite someone who don't normally go to church. Someone that don't normally go to church that they can experience something new. A lot of people who don't normally go to church, in the past, they probably experienced something they didn't like about church. So bring them here, and we break all the rules, that's for sure. So tonight we're going to talk about faith without works. That's the name of this message. And the faith without works is dead phrase. Many of y'all probably heard that. Most of you probably have heard. Faith without works is dead. Some of you may have heard it in your recovery group. Faith without works is dead. In the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's in there. But it's also in the Bible. And before I came into recovery, that's where I heard it. Travis has pens and notes. So if you don't have any one of those, raise your hand, and he'll get that to you right now. You got notes in there, right? Okay, yeah, if you got the notes and want to hand some stuff out, give y'all a few minutes. I forgot that because we hadn't had it in so long. Yeah, we hadn't had that in so long. And, heck, I wrote those up and turned them in to be passed out. All right, so faith without works is dead. Like I said, many of us know that phrase. It's in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book on page 88. It's right before it talks about the 12th step. And if we know the steps, we know the 12th step is carrying the message and helping other people. But it says, we alcoholics, and like I always say, take out the word alcoholic and put what your struggle is. We all qualify. We alcoholics are undisciplined. And I know this room. Very undisciplined room. We're still working. We're a work in progress. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way that we have just outlined. And what that's talking about is steps 11, 1 through 11. In the way they've just outlined, steps 1 through 11. But this is not all. There is action. Underline that. If you're looking at it, underline it in your head. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. And in the Bible, this is the verse where it comes from in the Bible, in the book of James. Now, when these guys were putting the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous together, when they was writing these 12 steps, They focused a lot on the book of James. They looked at the book of James and pulled things out of scriptures, and then they wrote this and put it all in the 12 steps so we can understand it. But they studied the book of James. And it says in James 2, 18 through 20, it says, someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God? Good. And I've heard it that really what he said there was, so what? You believe there's one God? So what? The demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that the faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. So what does that really mean? Faith without works is dead. I want to break it down. We're going to go word by word in this thing. First, we're going to start with faith. Now, I got a question. Does just the word faith, does that mean you have a faith in God? No. Not just the word faith doesn't mean you have faith in God. I can have faith in my wife. She's proven herself. I've been with her. I have faith that tonight when I get home, she's going to be there. I have faith that she loves me, that she's never going to leave me. She's proven that. I can have faith in my truck. I can have faith that it starts. It hasn't. The whole time I've owned it. Y'all just stop talking about Fords. I have faith in this truck. The last Ford would not start. I lost faith in it and got rid of it. There's a lesson in that, right? I can go out here. I've not gone out there yet and that truck not start. I have faith in it. I have faith in the morning it's going to start. Now, I've heard it said, the illustration about faith in a chair. Now, I was thinking about this before all y'all got here. Not a single one of you looked at that chair and went, I don't know if it's going to hold me up or not. You had faith that chair was going to hold you up. That's easy. You've seen it. You've sat in chairs before. You see people sit in chairs. You know it's going to hold you up. Amen. You have faith in that. Okay, so faith is, and you have a fill in the blank here, faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. See, we hadn't talked about God yet at all. We've talked a lot about faith already. But God hadn't entered the picture. Faith in God looks a little like this. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Like I said, I see that chair. And I've seen pastors get up and they pull their chair up and they go, okay, you know this chair, and you have faith in it, and you can sit in it, and you know you can sit in it. And when you sit down, you're not scared of doing that. And I never have liked that. I never liked that illustration about faith. Because a God faith is more like you see a chair, and all you see is three legs. You've been told there's a fourth leg, and you can't see it. You've been told that there's a fourth leg and you can't see it. You've been told that chair that you can only see three legs with will hold you up. You've been told that chair will hold you up, man, but I can't see that third leg. That fourth leg, all I see is three. All I see is three legs. But I'm going to sit down in it anyway. I'm going to sit down in that chair anyway. Amen. That's like having faith in God. You can't see that. You can't touch it. You haven't seen. Wait a minute. But you have seen. You have seen God work in other people's lives. You have to be open-minded to that. So it gets a little tricky in there. Because there's some things in your life you probably have not seen. There may be some things where you may be asked to step out in faith. But there's all you see is nothingness there. I remember a show, it was Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones, and he was trying to make it across this gorge, but there was nothing there. But he was going through scripture in his head, and it was about faith and having faith that God was going to, that there was something there. And he stepped out, and then the path appeared. The path appeared. That's it. That's it. So that's like sitting in a chair with only three legs. God faith. I think that's a fill in the blank too. So we're going to move on. Without works. What does that mean? What does without works mean? We're talking about faith without works is dead. It means no action. You remember when I read that out of the big book? It said, no action. What did it say? Let's get it just exactly right. There is action and more action. But without works means no action. I see that three-legged chair, and I'm not going to sit in it. You say you have faith? The demons have faith. They say they believe, but they tremble. Take no action. You see that three-legged chair, and you're not going to step in, sit down in it. You're not going to take that step across that gorge. So do you really have faith if there's no action? I believe in God. I have faith that He's going to fix everything. Does that make sense? That's faith without works. That's zero action. So what is that? No action equals no faith. I think that's another fill in the blank too. I'm trying to pay attention to them fill in the blank ones because I think last time I was up here I missed a couple. So what does action look like in your life? For a lot of guys like us, it's taking the steps. You can continue to come to meetings and have faith that that program is going to work for you, that God's going to miraculously change your life and not work the steps. Ooh, that's no action. That's having faith with no action. That's faith without works. Taking the steps, getting a sponsor, coming to meetings. Somebody can admit, I have a problem. And I have faith that God can fix that problem. That's without works. That's nothing. No action, no faith. Coming to church. I believe in God, but I don't believe I need to go to church. You know, I know a lot of folks like that, that miss out on this. They miss out on it. Helping others, serving. See, whenever I learned this phrase years and years ago, the works part I always thought was going out and serving, that it was going out and helping other people, and it is, but there's so much more to it. There's so much more to it. Lauren preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago at Blueprint, and I listened to it, and it was on worship, and it reminded me, and I wrote it down. Faith without worship is dead. Faith without worship is dead. Are you worshiping God in your life? See, worship is anything done in the name of Jesus. Anything that you do in the name of Jesus is worship. It's not just this. This is, yes. So what is some action during this kind of worship? My mom... How many don't, you know, have a problem raising their hands during worship? It's just what we do. Man, I'm going there. Man, for a long, long time, I had a problem with that because I was like, who's looking at me, you know? My mom told me one time, she says, we were talking about that, and she goes, you know how I got over it? I thought about being a little child. I thought about being a little child and wanting to be held by my dad. Amen. And what did I do when I was a little child and wanted to be held by my dad? Daddy. Hold me, hold me. Man, as soon as she told me that, I was like, hold me. Hold me, I'm in. And I don't care what anybody is saying or looking or whatever, and hopefully it rubs off on them. Amen. Hold me. That is action. How many times have you seen this during worship? Man, not even singing, not doing nothing, just kind of, yeah, I have faith, and I'm in worship, and this is my action. I'm going to urge y'all to shout, clap, raise your hands, yee-haw, yeah, buddy, all of it. Yeah, buddy. Come on. Yeah, buddy. Right on. The last part of the phrase is dead. And I think this is on your notes too. This means when you don't work on things and you just have faith, the faith is basically mute. Mute. It's, you might have there, it, you have, you can still have faith, but it's basically dead. It's mute. It's not doing anything for you. So I want to talk about a couple of people in Scripture that their faith and their works changed their life. Mark 5, 25 through 34. And if you got your Bible or your phone, go ahead and pull that out. Go to Mark 5, 25 through 34. I'll be honest with you, whenever the pastor's up here or the preacher's up here saying that, I never do it. I never pull out a Bible. I never pull out my phone because it's right here. The only thing with that is if you need to underline something or need to memorize something, it's kind of hard to do that here. So if you do have a phone, pull out to your notes section and maybe jot that down or write it on that notes thing, notes paper that I gave you. But Mark 5, 25 through 34, and this is where Jesus heals a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. And it says, a large crowd followed Jesus and pushed very close to him. Among them was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered very much from many doctors and had spent all the money she had, but instead of improving, she was getting worse. When the woman heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. There it is. There's the action. She just heard about him. So, man, her faith couldn't have been a whole lot. She just heard about him. But when she heard about him, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his coat. She thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Some faith right there. Instantly, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her disease. At once, Jesus felt the power go out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? His followers said, you look at how many people are pushing against you, and you ask, who touched me? But Jesus continued looking around to see who had touched him. The woman, knowing that she was healed, came and fell at Jesus' feet. Shaking with fear, she told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, dear woman, you are made well because you believed. Go in peace, be healed of your disease. Amen. So what is it? Let's look at this. Bleeding for 12 years. When I was a young guy and heard this story, I had no idea what that meant. No idea what that meant, and I thought this story was weird. How does a person bleed for 12 years? I'm a little older, I have a wife, I have daughters. I do understand it now. Here's the deal. Everyone knew that she had a bleeding problem, I wrote it down, vaginal flow of blood that would not stop. It's a little bit embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing. Embarrassing just to say that up here. Can you imagine how she felt? Nonstop. 12 years of it. And according to the religious laws and the leaders there, she was unclean. She had to be separated from everyone. She was ostracized. She was pushed away from the crowd, from the people. She was rejected. She was condemned by the religious laws to believe. She believed it herself that she was soiled and unworthy. She believed that herself. She spent all she had with the doctors trying to get fixed. It said right there, she spent everything that she had trying to get this problem fixed, and it just got worse. Now, I heard some of the things, I've heard pastors and preachers talk about some of the things that was done to try to get this fixed and back there in the biblical days, and it was like terrible. I'm like, really? I mean, why would you even think that would help? You know, it was really terrible stuff that she had to go through. And she spent every dime that she had trying to get this fixed, and nothing worked. See, I was looking at this and I was thinking, was her faith in those doctors? She was taking action. She was going for the treatments. But she hadn't heard about Jesus. So that's all she had. All she had was the doctors and these treatments to have faith in. She was taking whatever action she could. But it said, when she heard about Jesus, when the woman heard about Jesus, she just heard about him and immediately had faith in him. You've heard the saying, all I need is faith, small as a mustard seed. How much faith do you think this woman could have? All she had heard is that she could sit in that chair with three legs on it. She had just heard that. Someone told her about it. But she had apparently had enough faith that Jesus felt it. See, her faith changed from the doctors and treatment to Jesus. In verse 28, she said, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." That was her action. That was the action she took. She got a little bit of faith. She took action. And in verse 27, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. Now, I want you to think of something else. She was ostracized. She was rejected. She was supposed to not be around people because she was unclean. Can you imagine? We just read where the apostles, the disciples were saying, "What do you mean, who touched you? There's people all around you touching you." So how did she get in there? Did she crawl under people's legs and got through people and grabbed hold of his clothes? Going to any lengths? We kind of know that phrase in here. Jesus felt her faith. Jesus felt her faith. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Because you believed, you are healed." My version says, "Because of your faith and action." Do you believe? Do you think? Here you go. I hear about this man, Jesus, and I hear that he can heal. I have faith that if I can get to him, that he'll heal me. No action, no faith, no healing. She had to take that action. Because of your faith in action, you are healed. Amen. So let's look at one more. Luke 5, 17 through 26. Luke 5, 17 through 26. Okay, now this is the story of the paralyzed man. All right? All right? Gosh! I feel you, John. All right, story of the paralyzed man. One day as Jesus was teaching the people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law from every town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem were there. The Lord was giving Jesus the power to heal people. Just then, some men were carrying on a mat a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and put him down before Jesus. But because there were so many people, there it is again. Remember, we just read about so many people being around. And this lady, going through the people, going to any lengths to get that. It's because there were so many people, they could not find a way in. So they went up on the roof and lowered the man and his mat through the ceiling into the middle of the crowd right before Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Jewish teachers of the law and the Pharisees thought of themselves, "Who is this man who is speaking as if he were God? Only God can forgive sins." But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk?" I love Jesus, man. He's like, which is easier? I mean, I can say, you know, stand up and walk? "But I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, stand up and walk. Take your mat and go home." At once the man stood up before them, picked up his mat, and went home, praising God. All the people were fully amazed and began to praise God. They were filled with much respect and said, "Today we have seen amazing things." We have seen amazing things. Here we have friends with faith. How many close friends do you have that are walking in faith?
First row.
First row? Right on. Come on. Come on. That's an important thing, man, because sometimes our faith might not be as strong as others. Verse 20 said, Jesus said, seeing their faith, Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Okay, so he never said the man on the mat had any faith. We just automatically assume the man, he must have had faith. He must have faith, but he never said that. He said, because of your friend's faith, you're healed, or your sins are forgiven. I saw a pastor this week. I was on YouTube, and I was listening to him, and he was talking about this verse, and he said, you know, it doesn't say that anywhere in that story that was that guy's friends. You know, we just assume that it must have been friends of his. And he said, maybe he hired some guys. You know, "Hey, I need y'all to carry me. Here, I'm going to pay you." Maybe he hired some guys. And I immediately was like, because, they would have been just working for him. They wouldn't have had to have faith. They wouldn't have had to have faith to carry. These guys had faith. They went and got their friend and went and picked him up and took him to Jesus. Like I said, I don't know. It doesn't say anywhere that the man on the mat had any faith at all. He could have been a non-believer. He could have been a non-believer. He could have been going, this Jesus thing. He was paralyzed, and so they took him. He didn't have a choice. Think about it. You're on a mat. Some guys are carrying you up on a roof. Could you, dude, hang on. What are y'all doing? You're taking me on a roof. Now you're going to lower me down from the roof to the floor? Either he had faith or he was like against his will being lowered down between the ceiling, right? So because of the friend's faith, your sins were forgiven and eventually healed. The last sentence, the very last sentence, when we talked about not being able to see that fourth leg sitting in a three-legged chair, the last sentence says, "Today we have seen amazing things." Their faith in action caused people to see. Those four men that were carrying the mat, their faith and their actions caused people to see what Jesus can do. Amen. What amazing things we have seen. At that point, you see faith. at that point, you can see things. And I know in this room, we've seen amazing things. Amen. I've seen people, come on, clap. Yeah. I've seen marriages restored. I've seen people who were homeless not be homeless anymore. Amen. Amen. I've seen, it's endless. You could go on and on. Andrew's a miracle. Amen. Andrew's a miracle. I've seen amazing things. That guy is not the same guy. Amen. He is not the same dude. I didn't want Andrew at my house much. I'm just being honest. Andrew is welcome 24/7, buddy.
Amen.
Because of people's faith, we can see amazing things. When I came into recovery, I hadn't seen what recovery looked like. I could see the people in there in that meeting, and I saw that they had faith in this program, but I didn't. So I had to have faith in what they had. I had to go, okay, if you say this works, I'm going to give it a try. They told me, get a God of my own understanding. And of course, I transferred that faith from them to God. See, when I came into recovery, I didn't want to have anything to do with God. And the funny thing about this program is you can't have nothing to do with God and this program work. That's what it's about. So I had a little bit of faith, and they told me to take some action. They told me to get a sponsor. They told me to work the steps. They told me to do not miss a meeting. And I did those things. And today I have recovery. I don't have to change the way I feel with drugs and alcohol or anything else. You know, guys, I like to leave y'all every week with every time that I'm up here. I like to leave you something to think about. And those on the bottom of those papers, if you got one, there's three questions. And take that home and meditate on it and answer the questions in your head and let that go and meditate on those things. The question is, do you have faith? Is it as small as a mustard seed, or is it large faith? Is it a faith that can move mountains? What does that look like? What does your faith look like? The Indiana Jones faith? Stepping out into nothingness? What does your faith look like? Number two, what are you doing to back that faith up? See, tonight is pretty special. We have the baptistry set up. We have a young man here from Lingleville. On the 22nd, he'll have 6 months. Yeah. Logan, y'all guys come on back up with the band. Where's Lauren? There she is. Okay. On the 22nd. Hang on a minute. Come here, Lauren. Y'all gather around.